gotcha. Oh, you gotcha. Yeah. Shit.
Go, a little Rolling Stones for you, mateys. It's 2 minutes after the hour of two right here on Community Radio in the 21st century. The telephone number on air studio phone line is open. 816-931-5534, 931-KKFI. Look at this. Macklemore and Ryan Lewis win 3 rap Grammys. Are guys named Macklemore and Ryan supposed to win Grammys for best rap performance? Is it supposed to be like that? Or is that just like a safe thing? I don't even know. What's the point of the Grammys? That's exactly. I don't think there is one. I remember being a kid and really feeling like the Video Music Awards meant something. But, I mean, there's a lot of award shows, and, you know, do any of these people really deserve awards? I mean, maybe Macklemore deserves an award for that song Thrift Shop, because I watched it, at least the video for it, at least 20 times. It was like the first time I had actually been interested in watching a video for quite some time, because it was a catchy song. And who doesn't like going to the thrift shop, right?
I love the thrift shop.
I know you do, Jake. I know you do. You know, they had a broken keyboard. I brought a broken keyboard. Something in a kneeboard. I don't know. But it's just like, have you ever been to a thrift shop? And just like, it seems like everywhere you turn, there's something that you're like, score. Score. But thrift shops aren't nearly the same as they used to be anyway. You know, not quite the same as they used to be, you know what I mean? Because the economy tanked. It used to be only poor people went to the thrift shop. Remember that, Jake? It was just poor people and kids in art school.
I've always been poor, so.
Yeah, but now you go to the thrift store, there's literally like, you know, because, so there's some things at the thrift store you can't get other places. And, you know, it used to be you go to estate sales, too. Do you ever been to an estate sale before?
Yeah.
Okay. You can't go to them anymore because there's too many people there. And the last time I almost went to an estate sale, there was literally a line around the block of people waiting to get into this estate sale. And I think the estate sale was charging everyone $1 who walked in the door.
Cover charge?
Yeah, exactly. A cover charge for an estate sale. Now, this was like a nice neighborhood in Brookside. A nice neighborhood in Brookside, as opposed to that, you know, economically depressed Brookside neighborhood. The other side of the so-called Brookside tracks, if you will, which you get on the other side of Oak Street, if you know what I'm saying. But we were on the good side of Oak Street. And it's just like, you can't do it. Thrift stores, they charge way too much for all their stuff. I guess some of it goes to a good cause. Everyone, you know, Corky needs a job. He needs to have some sort of economic incentive. to feel good. And since, you know, McDonald's doesn't hire people to clean off the trays anymore, it's for the 99% to do.
Or wipe the tables.
But speaking, yeah, why would you wipe a table at McDonald's? Speaking, I think the last time I went into a McDonald's was to use the restroom.
Oh, same here.
Just in and out. Row. So, on the same tip as going to thrift stores and being in art school, I don't know if you've noticed this. The ironic mustache, Jake, have you noticed the... You're in the city now. You're in the Northland, which isn't really the city, but you're in Midtown right now.
I was at a party the other night, and my drinking straw did come accompanied with a fake mustache.
So the ironic mustache is everywhere.
Everywhere.
Everyone's got one. Everyone's growing one. All these people with these, you know, the Wolfman Jack beard. It's just like, you know, or just the straight up, like, you look like you have lupus, man, beard. You know, it's like, you probably do need a razor. Because it doesn't come in full enough. But apparently growing beard popularity is putting a serious dent into Procter & Gamble's profits. So the U.S. consumer giant said that second quarter earnings were marred by the growing preference of men for mustaches and beards, which has hit sales in its grooming segment. The irony of that, of course, being is there's a new store on the... Well, I guess it's not that new anymore. There's a store on the plaza called The Art of Shaving. You go in there and buy like a $200 razor.
What?
The company said that the increasingly popular body shaving by men had the potential to offset the loss of the facial hair business. So at the same time that men are growing more mustaches and beards, they're not buying the same amount of razors and shaving cream, the increasingly popular body shaving by men. Body shaving by men. That really sounds like a movie that I'll never watch. But it's also called manscaping. Have you heard of this?
I've heard of it.
Yeah. Where guys like are shaving their body. Guys are getting like razors and guards and like just going through and cleaning everything up. Or what I think is even more messed up than that, getting electrolysis done.
Hey.
You know, some people are hairier than others. You know, and I don't know if that's a direct, you know, correlation with our ancestors, the chimpanzee. Some people are not as hairy as other people. And maybe they're closer to the dolphin or something like that. I don't know. Another one of our mammalian predecessors. But I think it's really unfortunate that mustaches have become so popular. Because some people aren't even calling them mustaches. They're calling them moustaches. And that's just creepy. That is just creepy. 9 minutes after the hour of two, right here on 90.1 FM. KKFI, Kansas City, community radio in the 21st century. We'll go to the phones because somebody's calling in. And we should. We really should. We should go to the phones. All right. Good morning. You're on the radio. You probably have an ironic mustache.
No, actually, I was trying to call about the earlier subject, but
no, please tell.
I don't know.
Bitcoins.
Yeah, no, I feel like people that are trying to like minimalize the
Oh, man. We're going to have to put that in the outtakes.
B-sides.
Oh, my God. I mean, I was thinking the same thing. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, you can only have and haw so much. Please call us, 816-931-5534, 931-KKFI. Somebody out there with the pulse.
If you have Tourette's, feel free. We've got a dump button.
Oh. 816-931-5534. 931-KKFI. Please call us with your support for Justin Bieber. Are you a believer? Do you think he should be deported? Do you think he should be sent to
Canada?
His native land of Canada or somewhere far off? Or should we just have his father executed?
Ooh.
You know? Because I don't know the Bieber story because I don't really care.
Right.
But it's become so ever present that it's just kind of like this guy is self exploding. Have you seen the Zach Galifianakis? He's got a show that's on YouTube
and a beard.
Yeah, he's a beardo for sure. He's got a show called Between Two Ferns. Have you ever seen that before?
Oh yeah.
And some of these interviews are priceless. Like the one with Ben Stiller. Did you see that one?
I believe so. I watch a lot of YouTube.
And So Zach Galifianakis, he interviews Bieber, and it's priceless. I highly recommend seeing that. I don't think we can play it on the internet or on the radio though. Might have some inappropriate language in it.
Right.
But this kid is just literally self imploding in front of everyone because his parents exploited him because they wanted to be rich.
What?
It's that whole Macaulay Culkin thing. It's that whole. Joe Jackson did this too. You know, there's problems here. And you end up creating, you know, a severely tormented and disturbed pervert is all that you end up getting out in the end. So where do we, 816-931-5534, where should Bieber be deported to? What about Al Anbar province in Iraq or the suburbs of Kiev, Ukraine? Can hold some tear gas. Because I'm sure, you know, deep down inside, he's not a bad guy. But, I mean, we're not talking about deep down inside. America's number one prescription sleep aid could trigger zombies, murder, and more. Do you know what America's number one sleep aid?
Ambien?
Yeah, Ambien is right. People that take Ambien do all kinds of fun stuff while they're sleeping, too.
Correct.
On March 29th, 2009, Robert Stewart stormed into the Pine Lake Health and Rehab Nursing Home in Carthage, North Carolina, and opened fire, killing 8 people and wounding 2. Stewart's apparent target was his estranged wife, who worked as a nurse in the home. She hid in a bathroom and was unharmed. Stewart was charged with 8 counts of first-degree murder. If convicted, he could face the death penalty, even though there was evidence that Stewart's actions were premeditated. Stewart's defense team successfully argued that since he was under the influence of Ambien, he was not in control of his actions. Instead of the charges sought by the prosecutor, Stewart was convicted on 8 counts of second-degree murder. He still ended up receiving between 142 and 179 years in prison, which apparently his lawyers explained to him was a great victory. And I'm sure he thanked them heartily. Thank you, lawyers, for being lawyers. Ambien, a member of the class of medications known as hypnotics, and that's literally what it's called, was approved by the FDA in 1992. It was designed for short-term use to combat insomnia and was a welcome change from the prevailing sleep aid at the time, Halcyon, which had been implicated in psychosis, suicide, and addiction, and had been banned in a half dozen countries because it's hard to make millions of dollars as a pharmaceutical company when they ban your product all over the world. Ambien works by activating the neurotransmitter, GABA, and binding it to a GABA receptor in the same way, in the same location as benzodiazepines such as Xanax and Valium do. The extra GABA activity triggered by the drug inhibits the neuron activity that is associated with insomnia. In other words, it slows down the brain. Ambien is extremely effective at initiating sleep, usually working within 20 minutes. It does not, however, have an effect on sustaining sleep unless it is taken in its controlled release form. Although Ambien prescribing information warned in small print that medications in the hypnotic class had occasional side effects, including sleepwalking, abnormal thinking, that's in quotations, and strange behavior, also in quotations. These behaviors were listed as extremely rare, and any anecdotal evidence of sleep driving, sleep eating, or sleep shopping. The hell does that mean? Do you get on Amazon while you're asleep?
I think so.
All behaviors. I mean, I take that back. I've been to Walmart before. I know what the hell sleep shopping is. All behaviors now associated with Ambien blackouts were characterized as unusual quirks or attributed to mixing the medication with alcohol. It wasn't until Patrick Kennedy's 2006 middle-of-the-night car accident and subsequent explanation to arriving officers that he was running late for a vote that the bizarre side effects of Ambien began to receive national attention. Kennedy claimed that he had been taking the sleep aid and had no recollection of the events that night. Kennedy claimed that after its approval, Ambien quickly rose to dominance in the sleep aid market. Travelers swore by it to combat jet lag, and women who suffer more insomnia than men bought it in droves. Why is that? Why is women that suffer the... That's absolutely true, by the way. I've never in my life... Well, one time when I got this bizarre infection on my lips, and they swelled up to five times their normal size and were oozing pus, I didn't sleep that night. But every other night of my life, I've always slept very well. You ever had insomnia, Jake?
No.
Yeah, exactly. Women get that stuff all the time. Like, I woke up at 3:30 in the morning and I was just laying there and I couldn't go back to sleep. It's like, what do you mean you were laying there and couldn't go back to sleep?
Yeah, I'm either awake or asleep. There's no middle ground.
Yeah, I don't understand how I could. It's late. It's like 2 hours and it's 3 hours and I'm just like, oh my God, I need to sleep. I mean, I understand. It's not insomnia when I wake up in the middle of the night getting body slammed by an 18-month-old, you know, like, fuzzball in the middle of the night. It's going, Dad, as I get body slammed. That's not insomnia. That's, you know, that's getting attacked by your children in the middle of the night. That's different. I don't understand why it is that women, it must be an emotional thing or something. Ambien's French manufacturer made $2 billion in sales at its peak. In 2007, the generic version of Ambien was released at less than $2 per pill. It still remains one of the most prescribed drugs in America. Wow, outselling popular painkillers like Percocet. It's nice that the article refers to Percocet as popular. Everyone knows that Percocets are quite popular. I perk up for a Percocet. Not actually. I slouch over in the chair and fall onto the floor for a Percocet.
Yeah, I became one with the floor the one and only time I had that.
And prescription strength ibuprofen. Yeah, I got a root canal and one of my teeth went in. You get Vicodin or whatever it is. That was a horrible week of my life. I don't understand how anyone could ever possibly take pain medication recreationally. That is beyond me. But then again, I'm not in a lot of pain. There's something about that, I think. You know, some people... How much of modern medicine is literally just pain management? Wow, it hurts.
75.
Yeah, we can't figure it out either. So hey, take these. What are these? These? It's a prescription opioid. Enjoy your new addiction. I mean, that seems like you know, why just give these people some OxyContin, go right to sleep, not turn into Ambien zombies. But then again, you know what's real popular right now, Jake?
Robo-tripping.
No, zombies.
Oh, same thing.
Zombies are really popular. I think this is our friend again. Maybe he figured out what he was trying to say earlier. But at this point, I'll take phone calls from anybody. 816-931-5534, 931-KKFI. You're on the radio.
Hey, I was just calling as to an earlier...
Yeah.
You know...
Have you tried notes?
What?
Yeah, just write some notes down. Keep yourself focused.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might be a good idea. All right. I do have some good ideas, though. So thank you.
You're welcome. Okay.
Bye.
All right. Toodles. Yeah, so all righty. It's, you know, there's with sleep eating, sleep walking.
Sleep calling, apparently.
Sleep shopping and sleep calling into the radio. That's all good. Hey, man. It's the middle of the night. 3 o'clock, we'll have a new suicide for you, I think. Does it include the MSNBC anchor interrupting the interview with the congresswoman to say the breaking news that Justin Bieber has just been arrested?
It actually did, but when I gave it
a pre-listen,
yeah, it made me kind of sick, so I took it out.
You took it out. People, you know, people love watching train wrecks. You know, I mean, every time there's an accident on the highway, traffic slows down, not necessarily because the accident's blocking the lanes of cars. It's because everyone wants to see if there's a decapitated head rolling down the side of the, you know, off ramp. And that's what people are looking for. They want to see a little blood. They want to see a little guts. So if you have the opportunity to watch some pretty boy, you know, with blonde tips to self-destruct in front of your face with, you know, up-to-the-minute accounts of his supernova-like behavior. Brought to you by TMZ. You'll take it. Good morning. You're on the radio. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm pretty all right.
All right. Justin Bieber's a good boy. He's just misunderstood. But I was calling to see if you heard anything on that new Surgeon General's warnings on smoking, and that heavy smoking is, you know, a cause of lupus, which is I call a fad disease because, you know, 10 years ago you didn't hear about lupus. Now everybody got lupus.
Sure. No, I don't know. I mean, the Surgeon General pretty much says that, you know, smoking's bad all the way around. But, you know, hey, you know, when I smoke, I like to get a pack of the low birth weights.
You know? Yeah.
I don't want that. I don't want that lung cancer or that emphysema. I just want some low birth weights.
Yeah, it kind of makes you wonder because they have the
get the mentholated low birth weight 120s.
Well, they say that the heavy smoking gives you also indications for autoimmune, lupus, and then your Rheumatoid arthritis is an autoimmune disease.
Well, think about it. When you're smoking, you are not ingesting oxygen into your lungs. You're ingesting tobacco smoke, which has all kinds of, you know, stuff in it. I mean, some of that stuff could be good for you. I don't know. I mean, Indians smoked for centuries, and I don't think the Indians had lupus or emphysema or any of that other stuff. But you're not ingesting oxygen. And if your cells are not oxygenated, you know, they're going to be acidic and out of balance and unhealthy.
4 years ago, I had surgery on my finger. And the doctors, you know, he said, well, it was a nerve block because of all this and that. And as soon as I came out of it, it was a lot of pain. And he said, whatever you do, don't smoke cigarettes because the sensitivities on your nerves doesn't give it enough oxygen.
Right. There you go.
And every time I smoked a cigarette, that was the most painful time of the whole deal.
Sure. No, it's because you're not ingesting oxygen. You're replacing the oxygen that should be going to your red blood cells and getting distributed throughout your body to all your organs. It's getting replaced with something else.
Yeah.
Heavy smoking, you're just doing that over and over and over again. I mean, it's amazing the power of breath and breathing. They say that just a little bit of meditation can lower your blood pressure and, you know, lower your heart rate and lower your anxiety and lower all the reasons that people smoke in the first place. It was like the time I was at a Walmart and I got my blood pressure checked. And it was like 150 over 1, you know, 20 or something. I'm like, oh, my God, what's going on? And then I realized, you know what? I'm in a Walmart. I need to get out of here.
every time.
My blood pressure was just fine after that.
Yeah, well, they say that the pain pills, you know, these Vicodins or whatever, they're more for deep-set pain, and then people got a lot of sensitivity. In fact, it heightens sensitivity and like nerve ending type pain.
Right.
Which is kind of weird. Yeah, and then you were talking about these Bitcoins. You know, I've always noticed that whenever I read an article about Bitcoin, it always seems like, you know, you could kind of trace up the links to someone that, you know, they are trying to put the word out on them, trying to put the light on it. It's almost like these pot stocks that are out there. You know, they're all penny stocks or companies or that are trying to get listed, but they can't get listed. They're, you know, at any second they can declare bankruptcy and there aren't bankruptcy proceedings and stuff like that. Have you been keeping track on those?
Yeah, I don't know. The, you know, most recent reference I can think of, the penny stocks, was the movie The Wolf on Wall Street. You know, but I don't know much about all that. I do know that some people are saying that Bitcoin is just public relations for the big banks and the central banks to go all digital with the currency. I don't know about that. I mean, that seems very, very possible, but at the same time, you know, there are a lot of folks within the computer world, the hackers out there, who are ultra-libertarian, who really do believe in freedom, and they feel as though computers are a place where that can be, you know, truly exacted out. And, I mean, there's some optimism there I think we should all feel.
Well, it's just all air. I just can't grasp the concept of it. It's not tangible.
Well, I hear you, man. You're from a different generation, and you know, I mean, hey, you spend your whole night tossing around the dead tree media. I can understand. I can understand your hesitancy as well, my friend.
Yeah, it's just not. I don't know. Not real. You know, you see a lot of people, you know, that like on the comment sections and stuff, and I think a lot of that Bitcoin could be related up into those comment sections where you just kind of like click, you know, they say, oh, I make $750 a week at my house.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, you know, come on. There's a lot of things wrong with the way people abuse the internet. And now, for a lot of newspapers, you can't even make comments unless you sign on with your Facebook account or email or something. Because just the perverse and racist and hateful nature of so many of the comment threads after various articles that, I mean, really become non sequitur opportunities for people to tell your mama jokes.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've been trying to check out on this quantum computing, which is a very, you know, it's kind of catchy in its own way. But the internet is the computer starts at one. Okay, the internet's at zero because it needs to have information between zero and one to formulate an answer. So a computer always starts at one. And quantum computing is into this, you know, like, let's take the military and their guidance systems. You know, there's really not too much of a change in GPS tracking, so it would be pretty much easy to designate a computer to do GPS tracking and do missile defense. So they're going to call that quantum computing.
Yeah, I know that quantum computing is an abstract concept right now that somebody is trying to make reality. And if that were to happen, it would be pretty powerful, the effects of it.
I think that right now we're in the stage of development of quantum computing by entering all our data into the internet.
Chuck, not we, but there's somebody out there that is.
Yeah, well, everybody goes to the internet. You got a cell phone. You know, just looking. People comment. There's a lot of misinformation. There's a lot of information. You know? I don't know. I don't really put much into the internet. So.
Well, Chuck, we appreciate your phone call, sir.
All right, have a good day.
You too. All right. 816-931-5534, 931-KKFI. It's now 14 degrees outside. It feels like -2. So bundle up, folks. Today it's going to be a high of 19. It's going to be mostly sunny with a high of 19. A 0% chance of snow, and thank God the winds will have calmed down a little bit. I mean, earlier tonight they were gusting to upwards of 50 miles an hour. Go walk around the house and look for roof shingles, which is when it starts blowing that hard, folks. I just, I live in an old house. I'm glad it's still there. 816-931-5534, 931-KKFI, as it gets super cold again in Kansas City. But hey, you know what? Global warming's back off. Earlier today, global warming back on. Now, global warming back off. Got to keep up.
It returns on Wednesday with a high of 45.
What is the average? It's got to be something close to that. For January, I'm sure the average high is, you know, the middle 30s or something like that. Not so bitterly cold. But there is a great benefit to it being so damn cold.
No bugs.
Man, I just, outside today, took the family on a nice bike ride. You know, rode around Westport, went down to the plaza. It was a little chilly, but it wasn't too bad. You get on the bike, you get going, you forget about all that. But no bugs out there. You just forget about that. Because, you know, in 6 months, there's going to be freaking bugs everywhere. So we were just talking about quantum computers in a way that I don't think anyone understood. I don't understand how quantum computers work, and I don't think Chuck does either, but that's okay. Because it's really intense. But so is all the stuff that the National Security Agency is doing. You know, Edward Snowden, he's done disclosing stuff, and he's promising never to come back to America.
Didn't he get a gold medal in the Sochi Games already?
Well, I think it'll... Did he?
Preemptively. He's the world's number one... a gold medal in whistleblowing.
I'm pretty sure that Vladimir Putin has outlawed whistleblowing because it sounds too gay.
Pooty poot.
816-931-5534, 931-KKFI. You're on the radio.
Hey.
Hey.
I was just wanting to call and comment on the unrelated topic. It just seems to me like globalized media is driving everyone to just consume, sure. Consume.
Okay.
And so I wanted to chat about that.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I honestly feel like, my dad, has worked for the federal government for 30 some odd years, just retired. And his take is that there's no conspiracies because there would be one person that would benefit from just being a tattletale, you know?
You're saying that your father is saying, his argument is that you can't have conspiracies because you can't keep secrets, because nobody could keep a secret.
Right.
Within government.
Well, that if there was some great conspiracy.
Like what kind of great? Like a 9/11 conspiracy or?
Right.
Okay. That's not possible because you would not be able to keep people quiet about it.
Exactly.
I don't think you have been able to keep people quiet about 9/11.
I don't either.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't either.
A lot of
and
people who
he
were.
No. Listen, he retired. He retired. And sure. Then when he retired, I played him Loose Change and a couple other things. And he was just like dumbfounded. Like, oh, man, really? Like it was off his radar. Like he didn't even understand that those kinds of things. And so, that being said, he actually like was receptive, you know, because hey, steel melts at a certain.
Right. So he was receptive, but then he rejected the idea a little bit later on. You're saying.
No, I'm saying early on he rejected it, and then
now he's receptive.
Yeah, after he was out of the loop of the after he was I don't know the right way to say
okay,
it.
So then you're saying that he like being part of the government prevented him from being aware of realities that take place in our world.
Well, I think he was one of the chosen people. one of the guys that was in the government. Like when I went to his retirement party.
What branch of the government did he work for?
Health and Human Services.
Okay.
And when I went to his retirement party. He was like, he even said to the people in his, you know, group or whatever, he was like, you know, we work for the government. And he said it in a way like he was saying to them, like, hey, people, you know, the government's not perfect. Like, I mean, he understood that the government was not a perfect,
right?
It's not a machine.
It's not an all powerful, omnipotent machine. Right?
No, he never operated, and that's why he was able to save the government millions of dollars.
Okay.
But at the same time,
what we're ultimately talking about here. With these great conspiracies like September 11th, the Kennedy assassination, I mean, there's plenty of others, those being the two big ones of the last 60 years, 50 years, is that you have people who use the government. You have people, bureaucrats that work for the government, people that keep the administration and, going on. People that are elected politically that come and go, and then you have the bureaucrats like your father who, keep the systems going outside of, elections, et cetera. And then you have people who have the ability through contacts and their own, resources to manipulate aspects of the government. And these people,
correct.
These people are like Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld and Paul Wolfowitz and Douglas Faith and, Richard Pearl. These names go on and on and on. And when George W. Bush was president, it was these neocons, these people that had been around since the Nixon administration, who had been around during the Reagan administration, during the first Bush administration, who, when they leave government and their party's no longer in power, their Rolodex, their contacts, on their computer.
Well, they were Rolodex before.
Well,
before they got in there. But yes, go ahead.
But my whole point is that they then use the government as a tool, because the government is just a tool. Corporations use the government as a tool. They use the government as a tool to legitimize what they do and to go out and fight wars to protect their markets and their economies, etc. So the idea that
Alcoa, BP, blah blah blah.
The government doesn't hide these conspiracies. People conspire amongst themselves in closed door corporate boardrooms and retreats and places like, elite places off the coast of Florida and Georgia. They conspire there, and then they use...
Especially Florida, because Florida is where all the drugs come in. So, go ahead.
Fair enough. And then they use their contacts and their abilities to manipulate and use the tool that is the government for their own benefits to look the other way, to, you know, stand down, to stand up, to do whatever needs to be done to get this, you know, to accomplish mm-hmm. their agenda, which is generally a corporate agenda, which is generally agenda based upon greed, you know, throw a little murder, yeah. murder and rape in there, and you got a full weekend.
Well, yeah, and if you don't think drugs are and if you don't think drugs and like manipulation are in there, then you're being asinine. You're being like just brainwashed. I mean, I live off nothing. I've gone without heat and without electricity.
Are you
two different summers, right?
Are you a breatharian?
What?
Are you a breatharian? You said you live off of nothing. Are you a breatharian?
Breatharian.
No, breatharian. Not a breatharian, well, it's a breatharian.
I didn't realize that existed, but yeah.
Are you a freegan? You know what a freegan is? It's a freegan is somebody that dumpster dives at Trader Joe's.
Yeah, yes, exactly. That's me, dude.
Okay.
I totally dumpster dive.
Yeah.
And on top of that, five houses down the street, I live off the Independence Square, okay, in my late grandma's house, right? The only reason the house still exists is because I was like, please don't sell it. The market sucks, you know? And then my dad, who is the retired federal, CASU is the
doesn't matter. Nobody
cooperative
knows what you're
administrative support unit, whatever. Anyway, that's what he did for 35 years and worked in the federal building downtown KC. And then and he was the chief dude. And then, you know, trying to talk with him with politics is just like, oh, man, no, you don't realize, you know. And so it started with, like, loose change, the loose change video with 9/11, you know. I was like, Dad. Years ago.
Yeah.
And then he's like,
hi, man.
Oh, after he retired. And then he was like, well, you know, there's something to that. And I'm like, yeah, the melting point of steel is blah, 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 blah. You know, it's.
Well, we've come full circle. And my friend, we appreciate your phone call, and we'll leave it there before we use any more inappropriate language. But we do, like I said, appreciate you calling tonight, and you go out there and get yourself some freaking food. Freegan, breatharian. Did you hear about I come home one night, and my wife's been watching YouTube videos. She does that from time to time, like you do, Jake. Just
right.
Bizarre ones. And YouTube starts suggesting stuff, and it just goes crazy.
It's a Y-hole.
Yeah, exactly. And she's watching this... this YouTube interview with a breatharian who's pregnant. A pregnant breatharian. She doesn't eat. She just breathes.
Allegedly.
I mean, what do you live on? Like, it would be like cosmic rays, humidity, and whatever falls to the sky from chemtrails.
Methane.
Some methane, player. Desiccated, you know, red blood cells and used Band-Aids and... ammonium oxide or whatever they spray in the sky,
which they've been doing a fantastic
chemical.
Job
they have that. Been a lot no it's for the last couple of years it's really been a reprieve, but like today I mean there was some powerful chemtrails up there in the sky. And the upper atmosphere must have been super windy because they weren't lasting for very long. And then, but you would see, I saw a couple of normal, you know, contrails, just vapor trails as well. There's a little bit of both. And then, of course, the temperature drops by, you know, 50 degrees.
Wild fluctuations.
Wild and crazy fluctuations. Watch out for those breathitarians out there. I thought this was interesting. I found a full compilation of everything the NSA can do that we know about, brought to you by Edward Snowden, who I've decided I like Edward Snowden. I was on the fence about the guy. Like, I'm not sure how I feel about Julian Assange.
No, he's a creep for real.
But I like Edward Snowden. I like the guy. I decided that I think he's done a great service. He's probably the great whistleblower of our time. He's probably done more.
Won a gold medal.
Yeah, he won a gold medal in whistleblowing. Probably one of the great disclosures of information ever. I mean, I can't. The Pentagon Papers doesn't even come close, I don't think. But there's a list of what the NSA can do, and it's kind of impressive. But some of these things. Yeah, maybe they're not so impressive. But it's amazing all the things that are. I mean, go into online games and monitor communication. Can intercept communications between aircraft and airports. Can physically intercept deliveries, open packages, and make changes to devices. That was the one that really effed me up. When, like, the Russian embassy orders a computer off of Amazon, the NSA intercepts that package somewhere in between the warehouse of Amazon and the embassy. They insert some sort of RF transmitter in there, radio frequency transmitter, so it can broadcast the information that's on its hard drives even when it's offline. As long as you are close enough to that computer with an RF receiver, you can get all the information off these computers. It's just amazing. They can hack computers that aren't connected to the internet using radio waves. Can intercept the talking points for Ban Ki-moon's meeting with Obama. It can set up fake LinkedIn accounts. So can I.
There's real ones?
I can do that too. I just let you guys know. It's trying to get into secret networks like Tor, diverting users to less secure channels. Trying to do that as well. It can go undercover within embassies to have closer access to foreign networks. It can set up listening posts on the roofs of buildings to monitor communications in a city. We already have those. Shot spotters, folks. A lot of things the old National Security Agency can do. One of the things that I thought was interesting, Edward Snowden told a German television network, that a lot of what the NSA do, they do for money.
Yeah, corporate espionage is high-dollar stuff.
Like, the primary reason I don't have a cell phone now. I mean, I've had primary reasons for not having a cell phone for years. The original one is I didn't want her calling me. That was the reason I originally did not have a cell phone. But since she doesn't call anymore, I don't have to worry about that. I have a new reason to not have a cell phone. And do you know what it is? It's the Cellbrite UFED Touch Ultimate, an all-inclusive mobile forensic solution. Do you know what the UFED is? It's the Universal Forensic Extraction Device. This is the thing that, according to an appellate court judge down in Oklahoma, the police can use to extract off your cell phone at a roadside stop. So you get pulled over. A guy got pulled over for having a taillight out. Jake, you should sympathize with this.
I've happened to me many times.
Gets pulled over for having a taillight out. The next thing he knows, you know, the police find some drugs on him or something. But they, without a warrant, because they had probable cause, because they found drugs in his car, they end up taking a cell phone downloading a bunch of information off of it. So this UFED, Cellbright is the name of the company. The Universal Forensic Extraction Device is the name of this product. And essentially, you just have a little port, you know, like, you know, however you would take data off your smartphone. They connect there, and then it just cracks all the user codes. It can go and find all your text messages, all your call logs, all your pictures, every little bit of media that's on there. And get this, it can also get the deleted stuff too. And do this on the side of the road. I mean, it's not like, you know, they have to take it back to the CSI crime lab. They're doing this on the side of the highway. So they find, they figure out, reading this guy's text messages on the side of an Oklahoma highway, that he probably has some more drugs at his house. They go to his house, they find more drugs. And the appellate court judge down in Oklahoma said, oh, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. So that's currently the reason I don't have a cell phone, is the Cellbright UFED device. Now, I tried to purchase one, because why not, right? You can buy one under two conditions. One, that you're a member of law enforcement. And two, if you're a member of corporate security. Corporate intelligence, Jake. And that's what we should do.
Start our own firm?
Yeah, corporate intelligentsia. Absolutely.
CIA?
Okay. You just start getting those contracts, man. We just have to get a couple of no-bid contracts, and we're ready to do that, Dad. You know what I'm saying? You know how to do that, Dad?
Sure.
Okay. The UFED Touch Ultimate.
Hold on. So it's the acronym is UFED?
UFED. I think it's actually UFED.
Okay. I like UFED better.
That might be it, too. All right. It's about 8 minutes before the suicide comes up at the top of the aura. Anything you want to say about that suicide, Jake?
It's a good one.
That's good to hear. I'm going to have to take a quick break myself. I'm not going to be able to wait until the suicide. Go fill the coffee up. And we'll be back with you in a few minutes. There we go. Right here on Community Radio in the 21st century.
Sky. Be the magic in the northern night.